This is Melange à deux, a Vienna podcast. Herzlich willkommen. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Melange à deux, a Vienna podcast. You're listening to Frau Batsby and...
Herr X.
Hi. So we are podcasting from bed today.
Yes.
Kiddo's around, so we're going to maybe have to pause a couple of times, but I think he's going to be all right.
I think he's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, you're really relaxed.
I'm super relaxed. I feel like John Lennon.
Oh, with your protest?
Yeah, the protest.
Okay.
Which is the best protest?
The lion?
The lie-in.
The lying. No, the lying. Yeah, sorry for the delay. We've had a couple of rough weeks regarding kiddo. But I think we're back on track. Next week we'll have finally Maria Theresia. So today we're going to talk about Schrödinger, but we'll get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. What's new? Kiddo almost died a couple weeks ago.
Well, it's... let's not get dramatic. He was fine.
Okay.
Everything is okay.
I got a phone call one Thursday from now he's awake, his teacher, and he tried to jump off the banister several stories above, and she luckily caught him. You don't think that he would have jumped?
I don't think so, because he's incredibly cautious, especially with doing stuff like that. I just think that it's scary, of course, when a kid does that, but, you know, I mean... There's a reason why teenage boys are the ones doing parkour. It's just...
Stupid. Well, I sent her flowers. She saved his life. She was able to grab him. So that was stressful. And he was kind of having a couple of weeks where he was a little bit off.
Yeah.
And so we decided to make an appointment. Well, I wrote, I think, 15 emails to different neurologists, children's doctors. It was impossible to get an appointment. Finally, one Thursday, I sent an email to a doctor, and the office called me back immediately and gave us an appointment for the following Monday. Mm-hmm. And you've heard the story.
Yeah.
You were there. And in my Pollyanna brain, I was like, oh, they must really care about special needs kids. They're giving us an appointment immediately.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. So you worked from home so we could go around noon to this doctor. I did not research her before. I just knew that she was a neurology specialist / kindergarten doctor / Dr. Mengele. Anyway, my fault was that I didn't have all the proper paperwork, but this was not truly my fault. We showed up. You were in the waiting room. I walked in with kiddo.
I was in the waiting room because I was told... Only one parent. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes that could happen.
Right. And then you were blissfully aware. The assistant came in to take some information. Kiddo, who always, it's a little bit difficult to take him to a new place, especially if it's going to be a doctor's office. He was great sitting at the doctor's desk as the assistant asked questions. I passed him my phone so he could watch Ben and Holly.
Yeah.
And immediately the assistant was like, the doctor doesn't like that. Take that away. And I was like, oh no.
Uh-oh.
So then a couple minutes later in walked like this woman who just started to scream at me, just losing her mind. Pretty much, I've never experienced that in my life. Kiddo was a champ. At one point she had her finger in my face as she yelled at me and he went and pushed her hand down.
It's crazy.
So, of course, I was super proud
and
just gave him smiles as she continued to rip me a new one, telling me all these horrible things. And I tried to explain the situation. And then I said, you know, it's really hard for autism parents here. And then she was like, no, it's not. There's plenty of resources. And it was a nightmare. I think she yelled at me for 5 to 10 minutes. And I did not cry. I was very close to crying. And then at one point, I just got up and left. And I walked into the waiting room.
But kiddo, of course, was really helpful.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I said to you, I'm like, we're leaving now. And you thought the kiddo had done something.
No. Yeah, well, that's usually what the expectation is. But I just can't believe that. But and we, on the way home, checking the reviews of this doctor and...
Oh, it was incredible.
Well, let's just say your experience wasn't unique.
was not unique. And then when I posted about it on Facebook, I got two separate moms tell me that they had had, because I didn't put her name because there's privacy laws in Austria, so I'm not going to say who she was. But they, one even unprompted, said the doctor's name and was like, oh, my kids are still scarred from this doctor. And I was like, oh, my God. She's a nightmare.
It's crazy. It's crazy that, and those kids that were scarred, that was like 10 years ago.
10 years ago,
so she's been able to just continue.
So I wrote an email to the, I guess, the ombudsman or whatever, and then they wrote me back immediately. I think they've heard of her. And they said, can we forward this to the doctor? And I was like, no, I'm worried about retribution. I'm worried that she would mess up my chances of seeing a neurologist for kiddo.
No, she's a complete monster. I mean, the funny thing is, we're not overly precious about doctors. Like, remember when we went to a vet for Morty, and the guy seemed like, you know, seemed to know what he was doing, a little bit gruff, but, you know.
He looked like a car mechanic. We're like, cool.
He literally had grease under his fingernails from working on his motorcycle or something. But he seemed competent, knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He wasn't overly smiley. Fine. He did the job. Yeah. Morty is still alive. Great. Yeah. But no, so we're not super precious about
doctors.
No, if
she had been a little gruff, and I understandably, if she was upset about something missing from the paperwork, I would have been like, okay, fine, mea culpa, even though I'm not responsible for this and very upset about the situation anyway, but I would have been okay if she then could have helped us.
Yeah.
But it was shocking. I've never...
I mean, it's one thing to have bad bedside manner, but you take care of the patient. In this case, she didn't even look at the patient.
No.
And just yelled and
screamed. And then she was like, well, would he sit still for an EEG? And I was like, I literally wrote an email explaining the situation that he probably wouldn't. And then she gave me this look like, well, I was like... I have never experienced that in my life. I've had gruff experiences here, but this was beyond. But thanks for being there. I mean, I'm glad you weren't in the room because I think you would have turned into Tony Soprano. You would have just...
You know what made us feel better after the whole thing is that we know that this lady really hates her job.
Yeah.
Every single day, she's just yelling and being very upset.
Yeah. One review was like, she should go into pathology.
Oh, no. The review... There was one where somebody's daughter sneezed in her face and she said, that is disgusting. So this is her day-to-day job.
She's like, you know who I want to work with? Kids.
Kids.
Sick children. So my advice, if you live in Vienna and you have a bad experience with a doctor, please, please report them because this type of thing continues because people are scared to report. Oh, kiddo wants a snack. Okay, yeah, you can get a cookie. Okay, sorry for the crinkling. Chad has somehow found these cookies. I don't know how he finds things.
Was it my bag?
No, I don't. No, this was... I hid these. Okay, come here. Raphael, come and get your cookies.
He sniffed them out.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
We're on the air.
We're on the air.
But you were a champ at the doctor's office, and you protected your mom, so you're the best. Okay, go in your room and don't talk to us. Yeah, so that was a very exciting, fun time. And now I finally have an appointment for next month. We're going private clinic route. Cost an arm and a leg, but worth it. And they sounded very nice, but I don't have my hopes up. I'm like ready. I'm ready to be.
Can't get worse.
Listen. I don't know anymore. I am damaged. And then I guess in other news, we missed Eurovision because we were asleep when it started. I've always been a huge Eurovision song contest. I was
and
a journalist.
I've been the opposite.
Yeah, no, I was a journalist for it when it was in Vienna. It was like the best couple weeks of my life. And Switzerland won this year, which I think is actually perfect considering the climate of what's happening in the world. I think Switzerland is a great choice. So,
actually, yeah, the Swiss are known for their musical heritage.
No, I think just because they're...
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. All right, I was a little bit worried. All right.
No, the laundering year.
The laundering, yeah. Well... actually, that was the funny thing. When I was at one of the Eurovision Song Contest press parties, there was this story going around that one country was talking, like, because there was mayors from different towns at this one event. It was amazing. It was in the Lower Belvedere. Absolutely incredible. And these mayors were talking to the Australian delegation because if Australia won it, they probably wouldn't host it there. So these other mayors were trying to get. It was amazing. I was like, the political things. And then, of course, there's that wonderful film with Will Ferrell that I adore. It's so cute.
Called also Eurovision.
Oh, so good. I should watch that again. Okay, so let's get started with episode 22.
Yes.
Titled, What's in the Box? Schrödinger.
Yes.
All right, so my sources are Wikipedia.com, Forbes.com, Schrödinger's Pedophilia, The Cat is Out of the Bag.
Is that the name of the book?
by Rebecca Coffey. That's the article.
Article.
Physicsworld.com, favorite website of all time. Article, Schrödinger Lecture Theater at Trinity College Dublin, renamed after sexual abuse reports by Michael Banks. And NBD.com.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So, quote, Schrödinger was born in Erberg, Vienna, which is one of the U-Bahn stops here, Austria, on 12...
Strawberry Vienna?
Strawberry Mountain.
Ah.
Sounds delightful, but it's not, really. It's like a huge bus terminal. On 12th of August, 1887, to Rudolf Schrödinger, who was a botanist, and Georgine Amelia Brenda Schrödinger, née Bauer, daughter of Alexander Bauer, professor of chemistry at the Technical University of Vienna. Schrödinger was their only child. His mother was of half Austrian and half English descent. His father was Catholic and his mother was Lutheran. He himself was an atheist. However, he had strong interest in Eastern religions, pantheism, and he used religious symbolism in his work. He also believed his scientific work was an approach to divinity in an intellectual sense. Because his grandmother was British, he was fluent in English. Mm. Unlike any Austrian we ever meet here. They're fluent.
Everybody. Especially under 40.
It's incredible. Yeah. They're like, I'm so sorry. We had one guy who was a little bit methed out ask us first in directions in German. And we were like, oh, sorry, we don't speak German because we wanted to avoid the conversation. And then he switched into fluent English. And
I was have like, 5 euros, please.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. Okay, so, quote, in 1914, Schrödinger achieved habilitation. So I had to look up what a habilitation is. It's the highest ranking university examination with which, as part of an academic examination procedure, the ability to teach in a scientific or artistic subject in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland.
So it's basically to be a professor.
Yeah. Yeah. But of course it has to be long-winded because it is a professorial description. So, quote, between 1914 and 1918, he participated in war work as a commissioned officer in the Austrian Fortress Artillery in Gorica, Duino, Sistiana, Prosecco, and Vienna. I did not know there was a town called Prosecco.
Oh.
Road trip. In 1920, he became the assistant to Max Wien in Jena, and in September 1920, he attended the position of professor, or außerordentlicher Professor, which means, extraordinary professor, super professor, roughly equivalent to reader in the UK or associate professor in the US.
Okay.
This was in Stuttgart. In 1921, he became ordentlicher Professor, which means full professor, in Breslau, which is in Poland. In 1921, he moved to the University of Zurich. In 1927, he succeeded Max Planck at the Friedrich Wilhelm University in Berlin. I'm sure you've heard the name. Yes. Max Planck, yeah.
Planck's equation, too.
Yeah, and that internet trend, the Planck Challenge.
Took me a second.
Yeah, it did. I just came up with that right now. I'm really impressed. In 1933, Schrödinger decided to leave Germany because he strongly disapproved of the Nazis' anti-Semitism. He became a fellow of Magdalen College at the University of Oxford. Soon after he arrived, he received the Nobel Prize in Physics together with Paul Dirac, or Dirac. His position at Oxford did not work out well. His unconventional domestic arrangements, sharing living quarters with two women, were not met with acceptance.
So Three's Company was based on this.
Come on, yeah, come on. I would love to see Schrödinger be like, oh no, our neighbor is coming.
Instead of being in San Diego, starting with the San Diego Zoo, you're going to have it in like in Oxford.
Yeah.
Come and knock on my door.
We've been waiting for you. So in 1934, Schrödinger lectured at Princeton University. He was offered a permanent position there, but did not accept it. Again, his wish to set up house with his wife and his mistress may have created a problem. He had the prospect of a position at the University of Edinburgh, but visa delays occurred, and in the end, he took up a position at the University of Graz in Austria in 1936. Mm. He had also accepted the offer of chair position at the Department of Physics, Allahabad University in India.
Oh.
Yeah. So, in a little bit, I'll talk about the situation with the Three's Company. In the midst of these tenure issues in 1935, after extensive correspondence with Albert Einstein, he proposed what is now called the Schrödinger's cat thought experiment. So now we'll talk about it.
The cat.
No cats were ever harmed in this experiment. There is no cat, which is now a whole, I've gone down a rabbit hole, but there is no cat. This is just the theory. Quote, Schrödinger made many astounding contributions to the burgeoning fields of quantum physics, electrodynamics, molecular biology, and color theory. For example, nearly 100 years ago, he gave the world a way to calculate the probable energy and position of electrons in space and time. For non-scientists, the thought experiment now called Schrödinger's cat is perhaps his most fun gift to science. Pause for child.
Shall we?
No, I'm just saying, I'm pausing. Imagine a cat living in a sealed box that is equipped with a contraption that has a 50% chance of killing it via a random subatomic event. Quantum physics deals in probabilities rather than fixed realities. Given this, the question Schrödinger posed was whether two probable states could exist at once. Could the cat in the box be simultaneously alive and dead? Question. And then we'll take a quick pause.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay, back to the quote. Having asked, Schrödinger also pointed out that there is a measurement problem that precludes answering his question with certainty. No one can learn if the cat exists simultaneously in two states of being, because the moment that anyone opens the box and looks in, the cat becomes either alive or dead.
Hmm.
I still don't really understand Schrödinger's cat.
I don't get it either.
Wait. I guess it's like you can never know anything for sure until you open the box to prove it.
Yeah, but I mean, why do you have to get a cat in a box to say that?
People like cats. They paid attention. Why are you putting a cat in a box?
I don't know.
All right, so we don't understand Schrödinger. All right, so back to another quote. Quote, though Catholic by faith, Schrödinger was infuriated by Germany's anti-Jewish laws. In 1933, when an English scientist visited the University of Berlin to try to arrange safe exit from Germany for several of the school's Jewish scientists, Schrödinger, one of the world's most famous scientists, startled the visitor by asking if he could arrange passage for himself and his family. Mm. The guy was like, what? You Jewish? No. But he was very outspoken about the whole situation, and yeah. He was very anti-Nazi. So, quote, in 1938, after the Anschluss, Schrödinger had problems in Graz because of his flight from Germany in 1933 and his known opposition to Nazism. He issued a statement recanting this opposition. He later regretted doing so and explained the reason to Einstein. Quote, I wanted to remain free and could not do so without great duplicity, close quote.
Mm.
So, I mean, I'd like to think that I'm very brave. I think in that situation, And he's friends with Einstein. However, this did not fully appease the new dispensation in the University of Graz, dismissed him from his post for political unreliability. He suffered harassment and was instructed not to leave the country. He and his wife, however, fled to Italy. From there, he went to visiting positions in Oxford and Ghent University. In the same year, he received a personal invitation to reside in Ireland and agreed to help establish an institute for advanced studies in Dublin. He moved to Kinkora Road, Clontarf, Dublin, and lived modestly. A plaque has been erected at his Clontarf residence and at the address of his workplace in Marion Square. Schrödinger believed that as an Austrian, he had a unique relationship to Ireland. In October 1940, a writer from the Irish Press interviewed Schrödinger, who spoke of Celtic heritage of Austrians, saying, I believe there is a deeper connection between us Austrians and the, sorry, Celts. Celts? Celts.
Celts.
Names of places in the Austrian Alps are said to be of Celtic origin. He became the director of the School for Theoretical Physics in 1940 and remained there for 17 years. He became a naturalized Irish citizen in 1948, but also retained his Austrian citizenship. He wrote around 50 further publications on various topics, including his explorations of unified field theory. Why don't you tell me a little bit about unified theory?
Well, before I go into that, yeah. Which I can wax poetic about it yeah. all day. there was a famous interview with Christoph Waltz when he was with Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how that the Irish and the Austrians are very similar in the sense that they had a neighbor that's very powerful next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the literary achievements and the intellectual. Remember, there was that whole mm-hmm. Discussion. I thought that was interesting.
I liked his Krampus.
And it was also for me to buy time about unified theory.
Yeah, yeah. So why don't you tell me, or is it unified field theory?
I actually have not studied it. I mean, I have not studied it in the last almost 30 years. So I would say, no, last 20 years. No, but I mean, all I remember is that, if I recall, no, I don't remember
anything. I have no idea. I don't even think I've heard about it.
What I do know is that, I mean, you have string theory. Unified theory, though, I think is where, no, I don't. I will sound like an ignorant.
No, it's fine. We didn't have to study for this. So Schrödinger was in Dublin until he retired in 1955. A manuscript fragment from an unpublished dialogue of Galileo from this time recently resurfaced at the King's Hospital Boarding School, Dublin, after it was written for the school's 1955 edition of their blue. Okay, I actually am very confused why I wrote that. Forget about the Galileo thing. I must have gone down a little rabbit hole.
Galileo.
Galileo. So in 1956, Schrödinger returned to Vienna. At an important lecture during the World Energy Conference, he refused to speak on nuclear energy because of his skepticism about it and gave a philosophical lecture instead.
What year was this?
1956. But it's so funny because they're probably like, yeah, can you talk about it? And he's like, I don't want to.
Wait, you're skeptical about
Energy, nuclear energy,
okay.
instead of nuclear.
Right.
That's what I'm assuming. But I like how he was like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
But I'm assuming by 56 there was already nuclear energy, like power plants already
But
proven.
maybe he was skeptical
Oh,
about it.
skeptical about safety and such.
Yeah. During this period, Schrödinger turned from mainstream quantum mechanics definition of wave particle duality and promoted the wave idea alone, causing much controversy. Oh no.
Yeah, because that it's still the commonly held thing, right? That light is both a wave and like a particle. There is that duality, but he set wave alone. Okay.
So we can talk a little bit about wave particle duality if you want.
If you'd like to.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really exciting. Wave particle duality is the concept in quantum mechanics that quantum entities exhibit particle or wave properties according to the experimental circumstances. It expresses the inability of the classical concepts such as particle or wave to fully describe the behavior of quantum objects. During the 19th and early 20th centuries, light was found to behave as a wave and then later discovered to have a particulate character, whereas electrons were found to act as particles and then later discovered to have wave-like aspects. The concept of duality arose to name these contradictions. All right, so enough
So
about
exactly what I said.
exactly what you said. So let's talk a little bit about his relationships. This is the fun, juicy parts. On April 6, 1920, Schrödinger married Anna Marie Annie Bertel. When he migrated to Ireland in 1938, he obtained visas for himself, his wife, and also another woman, Hilde March. March was the wife of an Austrian colleague, and Schrödinger had fathered a daughter with her in 1934. Schrödinger wrote to a fellow mathematician personally so as to obtain a visa for Hilde. In October 1939, the ménage à trois duly took up residence in Dublin. His wife Annie died on the 3rd of October 1965. So he lived with three women and one or two women, and one was like the not his wife, but the mistress was the mother of his child.
What? Okay. And this is in Oxford. They went together there, right?
Oh no, this is in Dublin,
In
sorry.
Dublin, okay.
And the other universities were not, and I think he was there was talk of him moving to Princeton, but the US was not happy about giving her a visa.
Oh, can you imagine in the US? I'm
Yeah.
like, what does she do?
She's the mother of my child. We've got these Europeans, these krauts. So it seems that he only had one daughter. Her name was Ruth, and she passed away in 2018.
Oh.
And I had Googled Schrödinger children, and then I was like, that is a terrible search idea, and I'll tell you why. Nothing came up.
Did it put children in boxes? And they're like, is it in there? No.
No.
Okay.
So this is the controversy about Schrödinger, not the threesome.
Yeah.
So Itti Junger, a British astrophysicist, sorry, her name is Itti Junger. So British astrophysicist John Gribben reported in 2013 in his biography about or called Erwin Schrödinger and the Quantum Revolution that at the age of 39, Schrödinger became enamored with a 14-year-old named
Uh-oh.
Itti. Or Ithi, whom he was tutoring in math. Quote, as well as the maths, the lessons included a fair amount of petting and cuddling, as Schrödinger stated in his diary. And Schrödinger soon convinced himself that he was in love with Ithi. There's no evidence that things went beyond petting and cuddling when she was 14. But before he died in 1961, Schrödinger admitted that he'd impregnated her when she was 17. Her abortion left her sterile.
Oof.
Yeah. Now, next, according to Schrödinger's biographer Walter Moore, writing in 2015 in the book Schrödinger Life and Thought, Schrödinger kept a list in his diary of the women and girls he'd romanced. A 12-year-old named Barbara McEntee was on it. Schrödinger approached her when he was 53 years old. Her astonished family asked a Catholic priest to intervene. As Moore's biography explained, the priest had a serious word with Schrödinger and muttering dark imprecations. Schrödinger desisted from further attentions to Barbara, although he listed her among the unrequited loves of his life.
Oof.
Yeah. Quoting directly from Schrödinger's diaries, Moore revealed that the physicist justified his attraction to girls by considering that, being a genius, which he believed no woman ever could be, he was naturally entitled.
It's scientifically proven.
Scientifically proven. A woman can never be a genius. Quote, it seems to be the usual thing that men of strong, genuine intellectuality are immensely attracted only by women who, forming the very beginning of the intellectual series, are as nearly connected to the preferred springs of natures as they themselves. Nothing intermediate will do, since no woman will ever approach nearer to genius by intellectual education than some unintellectuals do by birth, so to speak.
I mean, that's an intellectual gymnastic leap.
I'm gross. Here's my paragraph.
No, but this is the thing. So only men can be geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
And since women can never be geniuses,
mm-hmm.
it makes more sense to go for the ones who are still not knowing anything.
Yeah.
Because that's closer to the genius.
Right.
Because it's like a circle. You start at not genius all the way to genius. But what's the two closest things? Not genius and genius. Oh, geez.
Yeah. So really justifying pedophilia.
But that, I mean, that's like he wrote a lot.
Yeah.
No, to basically say
I had no idea when I started this, so I haven't even talked about it as like death or what. I'm like, screw this guy. This is awful. So this is actually a recent story. On 11th of December, I think it was 2021 maybe, the Irish Times published a story that outlined Schrödinger's controversial past, which included relationships with two girls. The article prompted the Physics Executive Committee at Trinity, which is the college in Dublin, to meet on the 20th of January to discuss the article and the shocked reaction from staff and students. A day later, Jonathan Coleman, head of physics at Trinity, emailed the department saying it would recommend to Trinity's provost, Linda Doyle, that the Schrödinger's Lecture Theater be renamed and that it would be inappropriate to continue with the annual Schrödinger Lecture Series. It was noted that the majority of people had not been aware of and were shocked by the reported details of Schrödinger's personal life and sexual history, Coleman said in his email. Following the meeting with the provost in February, they agreed to rename the lecture theater to, quote, Physics Lecture Theater, quote. Nothing to see here. Since then, a portrait of Schrödinger in the university's Fitzgerald building has been removed. It has also been proposed that the annual lecture, which has been canceled this year, will be renamed the What is Life lecture series, because that was the name of one of his books, and be overseen by one of the biology schools rather than physics. They're just killing physics right now. Discussions are ongoing about how Trinity will commemorate that the 1943 lecture took place while acknowledging Schrödinger's wrongdoings, end quote. So that is Erwin Schrödinger. This is a shortly researched document.
But, okay. So, but that's fascinating.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't even know that most of his work was done outside of Austria and that he was in Ireland.
Yeah.
His mother was Irish.
No, his mom was half British, half Austrian.
Okay.
And his grandmother was British. So he spoke fluent English. So that's why it was probably very easy for him to work in different places. But yeah, I had no idea. I mean, Schrödinger's cat is like a word that, like a concept that's thrown around all the time. But it's, yeah.
Yeah, but okay. But it's one of those things where I think I just don't understand the concept correctly.
Yeah, I can't explain it very well.
No, because, well, I don't. You know, like it's like that guy who really, I guess, has thought about something for a really long time, but then you're like, why do you care? Like, I'll give you an example. If a tree falls down in the middle of the forest and nobody's there to hear it.
Did the tree fall?
Did it make a sound?
Yeah.
And...
No.
Yeah. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, did it make a sound?
Oh, right. Okay.
And I'm like, yes, it made a sound. Nobody heard it, but it's there. You know?
But I think the idea with the cat in the box...
Yeah.
Cat in the box. I think the idea is that
a cat in the box. Girl.
We don't know. We can't. You can't be 100% about anything. I think that is probably the moral of the story. You don't know until you physically see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, I don't like philosophy because then I get in my own head.
I mean, the best is if you really want to get into scientists like arguing about things together is the Heisenberg and Einstein
Right.
debates. So Heisenberg, because his uncertainty principle is like, because it's also with the same thing with quantum, right? Is that you don't know where a particle will be. It could be
Yeah.
here, it could be there. And apparently also at the same time, like they could be in two places at once or something like that.
Yeah.
And Einstein used to be, I think, and he was fairly religious, and he kind of said, God doesn't roll the dice with the universe.
Yeah.
You know, like it has systems in place. I thought that was interesting, but
Yeah, I'll listen to my next podcast after I listen to a recap of the reality show The Valley. I'll listen to the Heisenberg Einstein debate.
I must say that the Schrödinger, I mean, the thing that I'm left with in awe is his explanation as to why he dates
The
underage
pedantic one.
girls. Yeah, he's like, you don't understand, as
No.
women cannot be geniuses.
I go for like the newer woman
Yes, because
who's
they're
like,
as close to the genius, because
that's so
and I can
gross.
see the diagrams.
Yeah.
Let me explain this to you because you're obviously not getting it.
It's crazy. I mean, look, I'm not always a fan of rewriting history and censoring things, but at the same time, I think this guy was pretty gross. So I
Yeah.
have no problem with the university changing names of certain things. I mean, continue to study his work because, of course, his contribution to science is very important,
Yeah.
but you don't have to exalt this person any longer. So really fascinating. I had no idea. So yeah, that's about it for Schrödinger. Next week we'll be back with Maria Theresa, and Kidda will be not there, so it'll be a quieter podcast. I hope
Yeah.
everybody's having a great Mother's Day. We already did a great hike
Yeah.
in the palace grounds. You can see pictures.
And you
What?
know, I just want to make sure that it's known on record that I am a very good husband to a great mother,
Ah, thank you. You
and
are. You
I,
got me a Vanderpump cameo, which was really
yes,
lovely, and a perfume bottle.
with hand-painted
Flowers on it,
periwinkles.
very periwinkles. You made pancakes and we ate them at the counter, so they were warm. Get them
Yes,
while they're hot.
get them while they're hot.
And then we ordered burgers, and then I did some laundry.
Yes.
Yes. Otherwise, it's been a very. I had a nap. That was great.
Yes. Well, there
Yes,
you
you're
go.
welcome. All
You're welcome.
right, so you can check out our Instagram pictures on Frau Batsby. Please share any things you like. Oh, also, I just started working on my next book. That's my big announcement,
Yes.
called Tram Come Now and Other Vienna Stories.
You know, you
And
have to explain why it's called that.
yes, it's in the book, but I will explain it here. It's because I had been thinking in German most of the day and I saw the streetcar coming down the street and I went, Tram come now. And I was like, I have fully integrated into Austria where I cannot speak English any longer. So yeah, that's going to be it. It's going to be about the people we've covered in this podcast and some personal stories. And I hope in a couple of months that'll be out. It's been a really rough couple of weeks, but
But now the weather is nice
I'm
and
getting through it. Emotionally destroyed, but getting through it. It's been rough. I think this has been one of the hardest periods, but thank God I have you.
yeah, we have
And
each
we have
other
each other and great friends
and our listeners.
and our listeners and great friends too. No, I'm very, very grateful. And yeah, so I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Please rate 5 stars and tell everyone about it. Take care. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.